The toothless, ringless Bengals take on the Chiefs Sunday at 3:25 with pregame coverage starting at noon right here on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, KFNC FM and AM HD Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Oh, Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
Did I just hear that promo correctly, Nathan? Because Dusty and I were kind of paying attention, but not.
It was a legal ID.
Did it really just say the toothless, ringless Bengals?
I do not know. I
can
was not paying
attention. Can you play that again?
It's in a rotation.
Let me see if
it'll
repeat the same one. Hold on just a second here.
Oh, great.
It's not.
No. I don't think it's going to give me the same one.
Did anybody hear that? Did that say the toothless, ringless Bengals?
Is this the same one?
What's up? It's Patrick Mahomes. No. Catch me every Monday during the season with C-Dot.
No. Yeah. It was a voice guy. Or did it say the winless, ringless Bengals?
I think it said winless. I don't think it said toothless.
I kind of like if it did say toothless. I mean, Cincinnati is basically Kentucky.
Mm. It is Friday. It is 9 o'clock. We do the segment that we bring over from After Hours. Thanks for joining that show from the past. I hope you're into the show. Call Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan with Dusty Likas, Bob Fesco, and Nathan Williams. Today, I want to get into my Richard of the Week.
Everybody's on the text line. Yes, Bob, toothless.
It is toothless. Yes, it did. Oh, wow. Thanks,
incredible.
Yes, Bob, toothless, ringless Bengals. I didn't know they were toothless.
Let me see if we were recording here, and I will try to play it back.
Oh, are we saying because they're like a Bengal, like a tiger, that they're toothless, or because their fans basically live in Kentucky that they're toothless?
I don't know, but every person texts in says it's 100% toothless. Yes, Bob, you're correct. 100% toothless. I guess they're toothless.
Spectre had a funny.
Well, you know, every once in a while, you know, you hit one of them. Richard of the Week, you find somebody that's been a Richard, you call them out. Mine is quite simple.
What does Xavier Worthy bring to this KC offense that you guys need to be prepared for?
That's about it. He can run straight. Run jet sweeps and just run straight. He can't do too much else, so that's about it. Feel like you put your hands on him. He's only 100-some pounds. So you put hands on him, you'll stop the speed. So basically get hands on him.
Cam Taylor Britt, Richard of the Week for one, Dusty Likens. Here's why. Many reasons. One, just shut up. First off, he's more than 100 pounds. You and I both know that.
He's like 150.
Okay. Two, he runs a 4.2 140 at the combine. It's a fast sever. In fact, he's the only player in combine history where they've taken their combine clothes and put him in the NFL Hall of Fame. Put a little bit of respect on his name.
It also looks like when he ran that jet sweep the other night against Baltimore, like they didn't know that they could react. That's right. How fast he was.
The other thing, too, is that you know that you're thinking about him because you're talking about him. He's a guy that played at the University of Texas 6 months ago, yet he's already being talked about in a Cincinnati locker room because you don't know what you're going to do when you see that speed in real life. Welcome to it. How you done? The other thing about this that makes me think he's a Richard is that you had a free pass. You had a way to respect a rookie player, which you could have done and could have not made bulletin material for a game in which you are massive underdogs. You are a 6-point dog to the Kansas City Chiefs where you just beat the New England Patriots, who don't even have a receiver that could touch Xavier Worthy, who is a rookie. So for my Richard of the Week, it goes to Mr. Britt. And what happens to people like this and what will happen to people like you is what will happen to everybody in the future and what's happened to people in the past. You will get burnt. You will get smiled at. And Andy Reid will have that little smirk on his face saying, you can do whatever you want to do. You can say whatever you want to say, but we will make sure that your actions get paid for. Cam Britt Taylor, whatever your name is, you are my Richard of the Week this week. I don't see you on Sunday.
Why didn't we have that earlier in the week, Spectre?
Because it's Friday.
I need more of that in my life. The toothless, ringless, winless Bengals.
That's right.
And witless as well, you can put on there.
At least they could eat butter.
That's true. They can.
P.S. Happy birthday, Trent McDuffie, today. That gives you even more reason he's going to have a huge game on
Sunday.
There
you go. I like it. All right, let's go. Who's your Richard of the Week, Nathan?
It's got to be the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan, the medical staff, whoever did not disclose the Christian McCaffrey injury. And it's less from the, you know, sure, they're going to get punished. They're probably going to have to give up a draft pick after this investigation is launched and they figure out what happened there. Mm-hmm. Knowing about his injury days in advance and not disclosing it, A, that's just simply against the rules. But B, with the NFL in bed, with all of these betting apps, you just can't have it. But I'm more upset for that rookie running back who has the game of his life and then has to then answer questions right after the game. And just you can hear how distraught he is in his voice. And he blamed it on the media. I don't blame it on the media.
No, you can't blame the media. Anybody who blames the media has got other internal issues they need to deal with.
That's what the text line's doing.
I know, they're blaming the media, which is stupid.
It was a very relevant
question.
Losers
blame the media.
When did you know you were going to start? I mean, I completely get the question, but then that's what he's got to do. And he very quickly was told by his team, obviously, when he left the field, you shouldn't have said that. And now his mood is totally down after he just had his breakout game in the NFL. Just accomplished his lifelong dream. And now this is what he has to focus on.
Right.
Ruined his night. I think the Richard of the week is the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And, the question simply was, when did you know you were going to be playing? There's nothing wrong with that. That's the job of the media. I hate when people blame the media, because when you go to when you blame the media and you blame the refs, it means you got your ass kicked. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you got nothing else to go with. So it's the ref's fault and it's the media's fault. It's never the ref's fault and it's never the media's fault. It's how you handle those situations. My Richard of the week is pretty simple. I mean, we've talked about him all week long. It's Karen Van Noy of the Ravens.
Oh boy.
I was disappointed in the way the training staff of the Chiefs handled the situation. When things like that hurt, you get hurt, especially something that could be serious like mine was. You're supposed to rely on the team's training staff or, you know, their doctors. And I was supposed to see a ophthalmologist, which is somebody who checks out eye, performs, you know, right, eye surgery. And they took an entire quarter to get down to talk to me in the locker room, which to me is unacceptable. Because then you start thinking, you know, what if I was trying to go back in the game? What if I was, you know, really, really hurt? I know mine was happened to be moderate, yeah. But it still was serious because it's an eye. And, you know, your expectation of someone to be down there as the training staff asked him to be down there would have had a little bit more urgency. And just the way it took time was super unprofessional to me. You know, especially there's people that were in there too. One of the doctors or the friend of the doctor was in there, double cup fisted, styrofoam cups, like everything was good. And I just felt like that was unprofessional. I understand how Kansas City, the players have given that training room an F. Because with my experience, I would have probably, after that, gave him an F, too.
Okay, so there's Karen Van Noy of the Baltimore Ravens calling for a manager because he didn't appreciate the way that the Chiefs medical staff handled his eye injury. How did your medical staff handle the eye injury, okay? And I understand, like, when you're in a tight situation, when you're in an emergency situation, whatever it is, you never think somebody arrives in a timely manner, right? Unless it's Jay Southlanto, they are there as fast as they can possibly get there and take care of business. They don't make you wait. So I understand what he's kind of going through and understanding, but by the time you have that injury, get off the field, get checked out, get to the back, yeah, it's going to take a hot minute for somebody to come down and get to that locker room. But sitting there on the podcast or whatever it is, that he did and shouted out and blamed the Chiefs medical staff and then getting the NFLPA involved. That's just a Karen move, man. Like, take that up with your team and worry about your team taking care of business, not the Chiefs medical staff. The NFL has responded to this now. They said it's disappointing the NFLPA would publicize an unsupported conclusion without attempting to understanding the facts, the NFL said in a statement. We have reviewed the case with the Chiefs and Ravens medical staffs and are comfortable he received appropriate care.
Well, and you lose any credibility as well, I think, in the complaint you're trying to make when you say, I see why they got an F. It's like, okay, well, you clearly are not interested in actually talking about the coverage you received. You're just butthurt.
You know, butthurt. Let me ask you this, though. What if they had received an A, and instead of being 32 in medical staff, they were one in medical staff? Would he be talking about this right now? Probably not. He just wanted to take a shot because they lost the football game. And so he couldn't blame the media, couldn't blame the refs. So now let's blame the medical staff.
Well, that's a page out of San Francisco's playbook as well. Let's talk about fire alarms and turf and
right.
Eagles. We're going to talk about slippery grass.
Right.
And I mean, just everything besides the play on the field.
Winners win, losers blame everybody else. That's just the fact of life. And you're right about that when you brought it back to blaming the turf, or blaming the medical staff, or blaming the media. Focus on you and focus on your medical staff.
Winners win and losers suck. Coming up on the other side, I want to bring this up because I thought this was interesting from Uber Facts. It is Friday the 13th, so when you see those people out there acting a little spooky today, but here's a random fact. The 13th is slightly more likely to fall on Friday than any other day, making it one of the most common dates on the entire calendar. Something that is very uncommon is Cincinnati beating the Chiefs in the last few years.
Well, they're toothless.
We'll bring in Drew Nixon, who's not toothless, here on the round table on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
A little retro roundtable going on today. We got a Bengals fan with a Bengals jersey. His team is toothless and ringless and winless, for that matter, as well.
Did you know that was on there?
Did you know that was on there, Drew?
No, I did not.
We didn't know your microphone's on either. We don't know how that thing works.
Is it working?
There we go.
I believe so, yes. Is it on?
Yeah.
Yes, it sounds on.
We got you now.
But yeah, I have not heard that yet, so I'm sure it's going to happen a couple times today.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Ooh. The roundtable, of course, brought to you by
ringless Bengals
Kansas Lottery.
All right.
So anyway, so yeah, what do you think about that promo, my man? Like Spectre did that and then went on vacation, so he didn't have to face you.
Yeah, there has been a lot of trash talk this week from the text line, from Alex and Cody directly, from you, Dusty.
What did I say?
How about from your own players? They're the ones doing the trash talking.
We are the team to be in the AFC, and we know it, and we got to act like it, and we got to play like it, too.
Can we time out real quick? Because I'm the one that started off as like your good friend. I've been nothing but like open arms to you at this station. I've been nothing but a try to be a mentor. And I came out on Monday. I saw you there wearing the Bengals hoodie. And I said, you know what, man? I'm proud that you're wearing that. You should love your team no matter what, even if you did lose to the nameless Patriots, not the toothless Patriots, but the nameless Patriots. And you just looked me right dead in my soul and you said, Dusty, you guys better win this week. And I said, okay. All right, I tried, and I came in here and I told Bob, I said, I tried to be nice to Drew. I said, Bob, I said, hey, I went out there, Drew's wearing a Cincinnati Bengals hoodie. I said, I'm proud of you, wrap yourself in your fandom. And then he looked at me and said, you better win Sunday. And Bob went, excuse me?
Yeah, right. Real breaking news real fast from the NFL. Ian Rapoport. Dolphins coach Mike McDaniel says the team is moving forward with Skylar Thompson, but will sign a quarterback for depth. As for Tua, quote, the best thing I can do is not assess what this means from a football standpoint. Timelines give anxiety. So, looks like Skylar Thompson, now your starter in Miami. Joe Shad says, Mike McDaniel says it would be wrong to discuss the subject of retirement considering for Tua. Quote, you're talking about his career. His career is his. I just wish people would for a second hear that bringing up his future is not in the best interest of him.
So we can talk about that real quick before we dive into the Kansas City-Cincinnati matchup, because I do think from my personal standpoint,
it's the biggest story of the day.
From what I've seen three times now, him laying lifeless on a field, literally the one time where his fingers were curled, the other time where he got up and tried to walk and then fell down. Uh-huh. And then last night when he stretched that arm out, my first thought was like, here we go again. As a fan of the sport that wants to see this sport evolve and stay where it's at, stuff like this that happens is something that we can't continue to see to a certain individual. Again, I'm with everybody else. We were talking about outside the bullpen. Carrington was here for a short minute, and then Gold was over there, and he's like, look, it's not my decision to make. I totally agree, but being in the perspective in the seat that I'm in, if it were my decision, I don't think I could honestly play football anymore, and I don't really want to see Tua play football anymore because it seems like every concussion that happens, it's just taking that much off his life. In my opinion. But again, I have not played football my whole life.
Right.
I have not had nothing but dedication to football my whole life. It is obviously not my decision to make. But from what I've seen, from how Tua has been on the field in 3 years, three at least known concussions, I just feel like for his own safety, his own mental health, like I just feel like this is something where it's like, take the money and run.
But that's us saying that, right?
Again, yeah, like, that's my opinion. And, that's what I'm paid to do.
Right, exactly. Right. And my opinion would be you got to go. And the NFL needs to get involved and tell him he's no longer playing here, right? If you want to play, go to Canada because we're not taking the responsibility anymore of this. But, I mean, I've seen athletes retire, okay? I've been at this for a while. I've seen a lot of athletes struggle mightily once they're done playing. It's a bad situation. Some people that live here in town have struggled mightily after they've walked away and have been able to find themselves and get back into life, but it took a good long period of time. We don't know what that's like to have the ability to be this superstar one day and then it all be gone the next day. And that's what these athletes deal with their whole lives. They're told they're great, they're wonderful, and then they get cut or they retire, and then that part of their life is taken away, and that is their identity. And so I can't imagine today, from a mental standpoint, what Tua is going through.
Yeah, no, I think that to the point of the money thing, it's easy to say, you know, just take the money and go, because now he has that. Because before in 2022, he hadn't gotten paid yet.
Right.
So now that he has that potential option, to, like the $124 million guaranteed or whatever potentially to get, it's easy to say that, but I think you bring up a good point, Bob, is that we in a way forget the human element sometimes. Yep. When, you know, on our side of things or the fan side of things, you know this person for what it is, but you're not around them all the time. You don't see what it's like when such and such player retires and they go into issues with money. Adrian Peterson is having some issues with some money. You don't know what that's like from the aspect of their mental health and them wanting to be back in the game and then missing the game. And it's something they've attributed their whole life to. Mm-hmm. That essentially, if you're not broadcasting anymore, you're not hosting a podcast or any way, shape or form, you lose who you were in a way.
Yeah, you lose
and
that
it's
identity.
It's really hard to have at 30 or 35 or whenever the case may be when players retire.
Right. I mean, and that's what it is. And it's such a young age too, when players retire. It's not like you're losing your identity at 62, right? It's like 30. And like, I got like 80 years left. What am I supposed to do?
Left college like 2 years in. I don't even have a degree, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes along with it. So from a mental human side of things, I can't imagine what Tua is dealing with. I kind of appreciate Mike McDaniel saying, stop talking about the retire. It's not good for anybody to have those discussions right now, but Tua has to have those discussions because it was another gruesome scene that we saw with that guy. Mm-hmm. And every NFL fan knows those three moments with Tua like the back of their hands, and that's not necessarily a good thing. All right, what the hell's going on with your Bengals football team? Like, give us the I guess the Cliff Notes version of what the hell's going on down there, because what I look at it is a guy who's not happy with his contract, another one who may be faking an injury, and a broken wrist that can't hold a water bottle. Your thoughts?
So I think the wrist thing is overblown. I think T. Higgins is the last person who should be faking an injury because he was injured last year. He wants to get paid.
Yeah.
He can't afford to have an injury. Otherwise, he's not going to get nearly the amount that he wants and all of that other stuff. And who wants to deal with a wide receiver that's been injured twice and it's the hamstring and all of this? I don't think he's faking the injury. I think he wants to be back. But it is a cause for concern, I think, for the Bengals specifically. Dan Orlovsky had a bit on ESPN earlier this week talking about how the offensive scheme is dead, he thinks, for the Bengals, because it's built to have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And when you don't have T. Higgins in there, everything's on Ja'Marr, and the defense knows that they don't have the wide receiver depth to make plays. They don't have playmakers necessarily at the wide receiver position, where you might be able to scheme them open, but if you need somebody to make a play, it's not likely to happen. You don't have Tyler Boyd anymore. You don't have Joe Mixon anymore. And I think the idea of it's the same old Bengals, they're 0-1, they suck to start the year. They have this year, they have the Patriots, they have the Chiefs, and then they have the Commanders and Panthers the next two games after that. If they start 1-3 or 0-4, dare I say, their season's almost over at that point, because not only can the Chiefs potentially knock them out of the one seed conversation, they could lose out on the division within the next couple weeks as well, because they're going to be so far behind the eight ball. I think it's problematic because it's been an off-season conversation, guys, that's turned into an in-season conversation with Ja'Marr Chase and just Zach Taylor in general. They couldn't move the ball. Their first down came with like 9 minutes left to go in the second quarter against the Patriots. And the Patriots might have a good defense and all that, but you have Joe Burrow and they had third and ones, and you can't get a first down on a third and one. It's very confusing. And the more I look at this matchup, the Chiefs have more of an edge, I think, than in previous matchups between these two teams from the standpoint of personnel as well as just where the teams are at right now in week two.
And I think, you know, the biggest eye-opening thing for me was not the Joe Burrow wrist injury. It was really how poor they played against New England on defense. I mean, they let Ramondre Stevenson just run all over the place. I mean,
that's as old as time, though.
I mean, that, like, the Bengals, we were told from Lou Ferrigno or whoever their defensive coordinator is, they're supposed to be this great defense, and you gave up 175,000 yards on Sunday to Ramondre Stevenson. Like, that was a bad look, bro.
I can't remember if they were dead last year, if they were like 30th or 31st. They gave up the most yards per play, I think, of any team last year. Ground game in particular, they got no push, and they can't tackle. So from somebody who watches the team on a fairly regular basis, it's not the same old Bengals necessarily, where the team that went to the Super Bowl in 2021, they found ways to create turnovers. Last year, they couldn't create turnovers, so they got exposed more. Yeah, you're missing tackles, but you could create turnovers in 2021 at opportune times, and you were able to win the game. They can't create turnovers now, and as a result, your inability to tackle, create pressure on the court. Trey Hendrickson's the only guy that created any pressure. That's why I think one of the matchups to watch is Kingsley at the left tackle spot taking on Trey, because Trey, he likes to line up behind the left tackle more often than not. He moves around a little bit, but it's not very often. If they can keep Trey Hendrickson at bay, the Bengals don't really have anybody else that can create that pressure. So Patrick Mahomes can have all the time he wants to. They're on the back foot defensively. They're older in the secondary. There's a lot of concerns for the Bengals defense, which I think bodes well for a Chiefs team now that has Xavier Worthy and a healthy Isaiah Pacheco right now. Rashee Rice is still there. Travis Kelce, obviously. Mm-hmm. Even without Hollywood, they're in a better spot to have more success against this Bengals defense, I think.
Does the loss this week consider the season to be in serious trouble, or is it just two games and the Bengals always start slow, narrative continues?
I would love to say it only is two games, but I think the next two are like must win. Mm-hmm. Because
Did you say the Commodes and Panthers?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's that way or if it's reverse, but and Panthers, Commanders. But either way, if they're 1-3, if they find a way to lose again to Bryce Young, serious cause for concern. They wouldn't.
Is he still in the league?
He had a hard time against who is it? The Saints.
Yeah, it's best tough.
First play was a pick.
I mean, to Daniel Jones. I mean, watching that guy play is like, oof.
Yeah, it's really rough. I just think that if they lose one of those next two, and including the Chiefs, the season is on the brink of being done, because you play in arguably the toughest division in football, and like
the
Steelers. Regardless of what you think of the Steelers and how much they might stink, they beat the Atlanta Falcons on the road, and they kicked six field goals to do it. They found a way to win the game. The Bengals have never been that team where they're not as good talent-wise, but they still find a way to grind out a W. The Steelers have been that way. The Browns have Deshaun Watson, but they can
do
still...
They?
Yeah, well, they,
for now.
They should be playing.
Everybody believes the Browns have planted a lot of stuff to try to get this guy out of their
They need to play Jameis if they possibly can. And then the Ravens are the Ravens. So I think it eliminates the. If they start 0-2, it eliminates the one seed. Mm-hmm. They start 1-3, it eliminates the division and probably a playoff chance.
Because you're going to start potentially.
Because the schedule gets tough.
It does. I was just going to say, your first four games are against a New England team that you should have beat. Okay, Kansas City, that's a tough one. Then you got the Commodes and Panthers, right? Those are your first four games. Most Bengal fans at the beginning of the year, looking at that as a normal human being would be, not like a toothless Bengals fan or whatever that. 3-1. Right. You go 3-1 in those first four, you lose to the Chiefs, so what?
Fine.
You're 3-1. But that's kind of not the case right now.
Yeah.
And you have those first four games, and if you're 1-3, you haven't played anybody in your division yet, and you still got, what, 12 games against everybody that's left in your division, right?
Yeah, and then I don't know, I forget.
Or whatever the number is, six games.
I don't know if they play San Francisco again. This year, I don't know the schedule off the top of my head, but in terms of who they play, it gets tougher down the stretch. They have the Cowboys, I know that. They have the Eagles. So you're talking about an Eagles team looked really good in week one. We'll see how they look again. The Cowboys, who are really good. You're talking 14 games against tough opponents, and you've got to win. If you start 1-3, you've got to win at least 9 of those to have a shot at making the playoffs. Forget the division. So they kill themselves at the worst time this year, in particular, being in the first 3 weeks of the season.
I understand giving up on a running back and moving on from Joe Mixon. I don't doubt
them
for that.
I think it was time.
But like running backs have their shelf life. Like, it was time in New York years ago to move away from Saquon Barkley. But I know Giant fans are pissed because of Barkley, what he did with the Eagles. I'm sure Bengals fans are not happy watching Joe Mixon run wild with the Houston Texans last week.
Yeah, that was disappointing. It was also cool to see because the Bengals never utilized Joe Mixon in the way that Houston did. He ran about 30 times. The Bengals never did that, and I think that's one of the weak points as well. If you look at, they don't have as strong of a running back room this year as they have in years past, but they don't utilize the run game enough where you look at Joe Mixon, it's like, is this what we've been missing out on? Like, we should have been feeding this guy a little bit more. I think it was a little bit of a disappointment there of, man, this guy looks really good still. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we should have kept him or not. Of course, when you're already asking yourselves those questions in week two, it is a little problematic.
It's better to get out a year early than a year late with a running back.
100%.
So I will not, you know, get involved with that. But they didn't replace him. Like that's the thing. Like, the Chiefs lose somebody, they replace him. They lose somebody, they replace them. The Bengals don't seemingly do that, like, both at wide receiver and at running back.
Yeah, and that, I think, is the... That was why a lot of people thought they could have taken wide receiver in the draft, maybe in the first round, is, look, T. Higgins, you're trying to get ahead of it. They take Jermaine Burton. He didn't play in week one. He might play a little bit in this one. Who knows? But to that point, Bob, they've got Zach Moss as the starter. He was the backup to Jonathan Taylor. He only played a lot last year because Jonathan Taylor was hurt.
Yeah.
So they basically have two backup running backs as your crew with him and Chase Brown. I think Chase is the better of the two, but it's not a good spot to be in where you're looking around and you're like, okay, no T. Higgins. No Joe Mixon. The tight end spot is questionable because they had a guy drop a touchdown and then fumble the ball at the goal line. Who all do we have that Joe should be able to rely on going into this game against the Chiefs and from here on out?
Do you enjoy the smack talk, like, when you're in this situation?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's fun. So
it is fun. Yeah.
We're going to get into it. Alex and Cody and I actually got into it in our group chat yesterday after Jamar said what he said. Because to me, as a player, you should think that you're the best. Like, the Royals should think that they are the best team in the AL, no doubt whatsoever. We're better than the Yankees, we're better than the Orioles. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not realistically true, or maybe it's not as true as you want it to be, but the Royals should believe that because it gets you fired up to play more and more and more. Of course, now they should be fired up in general because of the playoff push, but the Bengals, to me, I think Jamar Chase is trying to be that guy in the locker room. I need to fire this team up in some way, shape, or form, because right now nobody's doing it. We looked lackadaisical against New England. We sucked. It was terrible. Nobody can tackle. We need to play like we're the best team in the AFC because we should think that we're the best team in the AFC. Fair. I think that's what he was saying from that standpoint. Because, look, if you don't think that way, you're Lamar Jackson, who has said Patrick Mahomes is his kryptonite already. He's already lost,
right?
By admitting that.
And he's 1-5 or 1-6 against Mahomes.
By admitting that Mahomes is your kryptonite, you've already lost in that mental aspect of it, where you almost start questioning your ability to make a comeback or whatnot in a game, in a way. And then, or the Buffalo Bills, and you never win anything against the Chiefs.
But Drew, somebody who's a Bengals fan, and you hear that going into this game, knowing that the Chiefs keep receipts and they're petty, that has to be like, all right, maybe if you said it going into next week's game, that's something different. But you've just fueled this fire, and you know, like, Patrick Mahomes is gonna have something ready for, like, when they beat him, and, like, we're the best team.
I don't mind Jamar Chase talking. Cam Taylor-Britton should have just not said anything, because for him to say all Xavier Worthy does is run fast, my first thought was, you better hope that you do not get beat by Xavier Worthy.
Oh, you can run right by that dude.
Otherwise, you are not going to hear the end of it from Chiefs fans. You're not going to hear the end of it from Bengals fans, from anybody. Like, if he gets beat deep, he should have just never said anything, because offensive, like, Jamar Chase knows that if you're a top five player at your position, I feel like you have the right to talk. Mm-hmm. We just talked about how the Bengals can't tackle and the secondary has problems. Well, Cam Taylor-Britt is part of the secondary that's having those problems. Mm-hmm. So no matter how good you think you may be, no matter how much it fires you up, you should keep that internal, I think, more than Jamar Chase talking. Like, Joe Burrow never... Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow is very respectful, I think, in regards to how he feels about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and all that stuff, just like how Chris Jones and Travis Kelce are respectful to Joe Burrow. But it's the guys that talk that shouldn't be talking. Jamar Chase can talk, but Cam Taylor shouldn't be
saying. Oh, not at all. Especially, you know, when Xavier Worthy made the Baltimore Ravens look like they were frozen when he ran right. Like, go back and watch that again.
And you're letting a rookie get in your head.
Played one game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's that would be the biggest concern in regards to the trash talk. But I think if there's no trash, the idea of trash talk being a bad thing, I don't know who thinks that, but it's not a bad thing.
No, it's fun.
It's what makes this rivalry the best in football as of right now, and it makes it more exciting for us because we get to talk about it a little bit. And Chiefs fans hate the Bengals and Joe Burrow. I think it's good because a lot of Bengals fans hate the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. I'm not in that category. I don't hate the Chiefs. Having lived here, I get more of an appreciation, I think, for the Chiefs in a way as well. But hating is good in sports because it provides
absolutely
good talk. It provides the best of both teams.
I will extend my offer for another 2 hours. You know what that offer is. You can drop your Bengals fandom and you can join the kingdom.
No,
but you have till 11 o'clock.
Somebody reached out to me and said, "Hey, Chiefs Kingdom is still open for you." If there's one team I will not ever stop cheering for, it's the Bengals. And you can call me the lovable loser. Go ahead. It's fine.
You got to cheer for your team, right?
I'm comfortable enough.
Bob, drop the Giants.
Well, it's very easy.
I'm just saying.
I say drop. I still watch with one.
There was
eye
one
open.
Moment where, like, my mom always tells me this story. I tried to legitimately drop the Bengals fandom when I was maybe 10 or 11.
Palmer was there.
Tried to do it. Which
was it? Christian Palmer?
Carson. I cannot stand it. Speaking of quitting on a team.
Yeah.
I wish I never heard of Carson Palmer.
Was there a Christian Pounder or something?
Christian Ponder.
Ponder, yes.
His wife just got laid off on ESPN.
Samantha Steele, right?
Yeah, yeah. Christian Pounder keeps butter in his shower also.
That's right.
What do you guys got planned on the show today?
Well, we're going to talk about the Chiefs game, of course. We are going to talk a little bit about Tua and the ifs, ands. We got Ben Baby, who covers the Bengals, coming on.
Yeah, baby.
Okay.
Nice. I love that name. Ben Baby is like my favorite name. I was reading something by him on ESPN today. I'm like, that guy's name is Ben. That's a great
Higgins
name.
Article on people and T responding to the faking injury thing. So that definitely is going to come up.
Nice.
Yeah.
In our conversations as well. And then we got Rob Collins in for the fan club.
There we go. He'll definitely have some sort of bourbon for your drink. So hopefully they bring you a Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Cody did bring me seltzers.
There you go.
Good for you.
All right, man. Well, have a good Friday. I always try to chime in with you on Sunday.
Appreciate it. And I'm going to wait to say anything until Monday. I'm not going to say anything on social media. I'm going to try to be respectful.
Boy, if they win, I can't wait to see you on Monday morning.
You won't be able to wipe the smile off my face.
Oh, boy. I bet. I cannot wait for that. Drew Nixon, everybody, the producer.
That's their Super Bowl because they're toothless.
Okay.
It's not the Super Bowl for me, maybe.
Okay.
I promise if they win, I'm not going to say they're going to go on to do something good.
Fair enough. Drew Nixon Gold also hosts some night shows as well. Check him out and check that show out. Coming up on the other side, what are you doing Sunday? We do our tailgate talk. I want your plans. I want your spread. So does Bob. So does Nathan. You listen to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Chiefs sports world, everything here on 96.5 The Fan. Back here on Fesco and Dusty, final segment on a Red Friday. Damn, glad to have you.
You gotta love it, man. It is a Friday. It is a Red Friday. We got the Bengals. They're toothless, from what I've been told.
And winless.
Ringless.
Yeah. Are they eating anything of specific in Ohio without the teeth? Or
I don't know. Spaghetti with chili on it.
That's what it is. They like that spaghetti with bad chili, right?
Yep. They're eating chili with spaghetti on it.
Ugh.
In Ohio. Cincinnati. We like to wrap the show up all the time on Fridays because I'm always interested to get ideas. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I know I got dinner plans Sunday night, but that game's at 3:25, which means it's perfect to like start the spread or the tailgate talk or what we like to call here on a Friday, on a Red Friday in segment on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Like, what do you do for a game that's a 3:25 start? Do you do a late breakfast? Do you do a brunch? Because you got to get home by 1 o'clock because the witching hour is right around the corner. Games have already started. I'm just interested to know what people do on their Sunday before a Chiefs game at 3:25. Obviously, last Sunday, there was no Chiefs game, so you had the whole day to kind of do whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
I'm interested. Are you and the wife and the kids doing anything special food-wise, or is it just kind of play it by ear?
Whatever day? Ralph has got going on. I think we're doing burgers and brats, and I know Josh from Smokehouse is bringing some wings to the tailgate, so we got that going on this weekend. I think we're going to kind of keep it simple out in the parking lot. We're meeting about 11 or 9:45, get on the bus and head on out. And gates open about 11, so we'll be out there tailgating and getting our party on. Got some friends coming in from across the other side of the state that texted me yesterday. I'm looking forward to seeing them. I haven't seen them in a while, so it'll be good to see some folks and whatnot. I bought a bunch of Chiefs-themed cookies yesterday at Hy-Vee. Oh, yes.
You got to be careful with those,
the
Bob.
KC on them and the Chiefs helmets.
You'll be doing 2-a-days at the gym.
I know. I will be. be doing 2 days. And I also got some of these peanut butter Rice Krispie treats at Hy-Vee yesterday as well. Like I said to Ralph, I go, what do we need? He goes, a bottle of whiskey and a bag of chips. Mm-hmm. So for me, that means I went to the Hy-Vee liquor store.
Got Lay's.
Thirsty Thursday yesterday, right? So every $50 you spend on booze, you get 50 cents off of gas. And so got a couple of bottles of, I got some Maker's Mark. Ralph's a big Maker's Mark guy. So I got him some of that, which I like as well. And then went over to Hy-Vee and I got some chips, some of the cheddar sour cream chips and some avocados. Going to make some guac, some corn chips as well. And so we'll have whatever else we got on the bus and what everybody else is bringing. If you go to a tailgate, make sure you bring something. Don't be a freeloader.
From the 816, 325 kickoff means sleep in, go to church late, come home, fire up the grill, easy. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting that, what is that? That'd probably be a 10:45, 11 o'clock service. I think most do like 8, 9:30, and then 10:45, 11. So good for you there. I do Red Zone from the 816. I do Red Zone and Madden up until me and the miss watch the game. What is she doing while you play Madden?
That's a good question. Is she watching you play Madden?
Or is she playing Madden with you?
Yeah.
Putting butter in the shower?
Could be putting butter in the shower, yeah.
I still can't get over that.
Yep.
I don't believe it.
Why would somebody make that up?
That's a perfect lie.
But why would you even bring that up? We weren't even talking about anything. She goes, you know, my husband uses butter in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me?
From the 816, doing smoked pork steaks for guest Sunday, they bring sides.
That's such a Missouri thing right there, pork steak. Yeah.
My buddy's dad used to make them all the time. They were good if they were seasoned right. A little dry for my liking, but they were good. That is key, though. Like, the thing about sides, though, is everybody's got to be in communication with the sides. There's nothing worse than like somebody bringing two different sides of corn dip.
Yeah, right. The same thing.
Be direct with what you're bringing. Like Saturday, going to my buddy's house. He's like, we're doing a sub sandwich spread. What are you bringing? I said, guacamole and hummus. Very direct with my sides.
There it is.
Yeah. Bringing this. Yeah, I don't know. It's whatever that is. Somebody says, you get to the stadium about 10 a.m. Hold on. It was a long test. You take your champagne bottle and orange juice and you smash it in the parking lot and say no to mimosas. Pull out your bottle of Jägermeister and Red Bull, cup of ice, half Jäger, half Red Bull, and just drink it until 3 o'clock before you go into the game. Do you make the game?
Do you make the game, sir?
My wife and I are actually going to go do steak and eggs for the first time, scrambled eggs and bath butter basted steaks.
From the shower?
I don't know. And bath buttered basted steaks.
Oh, okay. All right. Somebody said from the 816, we're doing theme food for each opponent this year, which I love. I think that's the coolest idea. I've seen that pop up a lot recently.
Chili?
But you're doing Skyline Chili? Let me tell you something. You should never try it before. Do not waste your time. It's like opening a can of Alpo.
Unless it's like, I guess, your own chili that you know you love and like.
Well, if you make your own, but he's saying Skyline. If you're getting that like imported chili from Cincinnati, oh, God, I had it one time. There was a time three or 4 years ago, that may have been pre-COVID, where it was the holiday time and the kids are like, let's go to dinner. I go, no, we've got all this food in the house. We're not going out to dinner until we clean out all the food in the house. We had a can of Skyline chili. We were out to dinner that night. I mean, it was awful.
Mm-hmm. Bayback ribs and pulled pork, baked beans, salsa, chips. Love it.
Mm.
A little spread from everything.
Yeah.
I do want to end the show here with a couple of nice things that I've seen. And I do appreciate, because we were talking about, you know, somebody had said, oh, you're talking about this Tua stuff. It seems kind of mentally draining. I come to hear Richard of the Week is kind of a negative subject and blah, 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 blah. And somebody came in. Said, sorry for so many texts. I just wanted to say I love you guys' new show together. It's a perfect fit. While I will always miss Kling, Dusty's the perfect replacement for him. I was really hoping he would get promoted from the weird hours he was doing before. He's the perfect yin or the perfect yang for Bob's yin. Keep up the great work. I will keep listening every day. We always tell people to do positive things for people. And I'm glad that this show can be productive and maybe something that people take and run with. And my buddy Blair Flaucona, right? He sends in, he's like, my fourth grader needed to write something fun or to run for a class government leader. So I helped her and I should like this, he said. He said, hello, my name is Kennedy and I am running for class government leader. I believe that kindness and respect are the most important qualities we can have. You never know how someone is feeling, so it's always be kind and make them smile. It could make their day, month, or even their year. I want to create a positive environment where everyone feels welcome and valued. Let's all strive to be kind to one another and spread positivity wherever we go.
That's a great message.
And what grade? Fourth grade. I believe that's what it said. Yeah, fourth grade.
And then she finished with, I hope you will consider voting for me as your class government leader. Together, we can make our school a better place for everyone. Thank you.
That's great.
And the reason that we get that is because I can't emphasize how much I always try to wrap this show up and try to let people know that even if there is hate in sports, we love that. We don't love hate in the world. We love love in the world, hate in sports. It's a perfect combination to keep life going. And, you know, that's just kind of what you got to do. And that's why every day I end the show the way that I do. And I want to thank Blair for sharing that with me, because I love that this show can move towards people. And it's not just always sports that you can take something that we say or something we've done or a topic that we take and spread it out like wildfire and continue to move those wheels forward. No, I just want to take time and do that.
I think that's good. I think it's a great message, and more people as adults should listen to what a fourth grader has to say. And I'll just kind of leave it at that, because I'm just looking at the text line right now. Who takes hummus to a party? Like, really?
It's good.
If you don't like something, just pass over it, man. Who takes pork steaks to a party?
Final score.
72-0.
Nathan?
26-20. Chiefs cover barely.
31-14. Chiefs win and beat the toothless, ringless, winless Bengals. As always, go out there and do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, week, month, or year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind and stay safe. Enjoy Cody and Gold on the other side with Drew Nixon, the biggest Bengals fan east of L.A. Have a great weekend. We love you, Kansas City.